This recording is a production of the Conservative Anabaptist Education Committee. This presentation was recorded at the Conservative Anabaptist School Board Institute 2025, held at United Christian School in Napanee, Indiana, on February 28 and March 1, 2025.
Well, I think we'll go ahead and get started here this afternoon. Welcome to this session. Probably like some other aspects of our Christian schools, is there's probably no two schools that do things exactly alike. So I guess to get a little bit of a feel for maybe who you are and where you're coming from, how many of you are like treasure of your school? Okay, so quite a few of you are. So does that mean you're probably also a school board member? I was thinking a little bit about when I was preparing for this, I wonder if there's ever a chance where maybe the school treasurer isn't a part of a school board. I don't know that I've ever heard of that, but so it'd be kind of interesting to, thank you, it'd be kind of interesting to hear your stories, but I'm going to start with mine a little bit. This school, United Christian School, started in 1968. That's been quite some time ago, and then we had about two different men that were treasurer here for about 12 years. So now we're talking about 1980, probably. Mm-hmm. And it was time for the annual business meeting for this school. And they were going to be putting in a treasurer for that year. And typically, they would always have asked someone, would you be willing to be on the slate for this open position? And nobody had said anything to me, and I go to the annual business meeting, and they said the three names on this slate are, and I forget who the other two were, and they said Steve Burkholder. I'm like, wow, nobody ever talked to me or said anything about that. And the vote was taken, and I was chosen as a board treasurer, to be on the school board and to be the treasurer for the school. So that was kind of a rude awakening. And I'm like, okay, so now what do I do? The treasurer that was in just before me, he said, well, here's what you need to start with. You need to come to my house, and I've got the records there that I want to give you for being treasurer from before. So I go over to his house one evening, and he starts carrying up grocery bags from the basement. I'm talking paper bags. Probably every receipt, invoice, everything that those two men had done in 12 years, he's like, here you go. I should have just thrown it all away, right? I mean, I should have just gotten rid of it. But somehow I'd kind of caught on somewhere you should at least keep 7 years of records. And so I went out and I bought a filing cabinet and started going through that mess that first winter and trying to get some of that organized. And I actually went out and I bought one of these little desk calculators. I hadn't even had a calculator. Had those little green numbers. Didn't even have paper tape on it. And a little metal stand to put it on my desk. And my wife's like, you got to be careful because you may forget how to do this. If you have a calculator, are you still going to be able to add up numbers and stuff in your head and do this on paper? And, well, that kind of dates where I'm coming from, right? Now, hopefully you didn't have to start in that kind of a position. So then I was treasurer here for a number of years, and then we went with it. We were asked to go with the Outreach Church, that church ended up building a school called Bourbon Christian School about 25 miles south of here. And that school is also helping to host the event this weekend. So as we think about that, as I said earlier, probably none of our schools are set up exactly the same. So that's kind of like to have from you a little bit today is feedback on what you found that's important as far as being a treasurer and what works for your school and what doesn't. So would you say that maybe also this responsibility of being treasurer depends somewhat on the size of your school? I was thinking about that as I was preparing for this. So like, how many are here from maybe a school of, from 50 or less? Is your school 50 or less? Okay. How many are over 50, between 50 and 100? Okay, some of you. Are there any of your schools that are over 100 people? Would you say, Vernon, would you say that drastically affects how the treasurer operates when it is a larger school? What would be your take on that?
Yeah, but I'm on my second go around on the board with a 5-year gap in between the first year as treasurer, and we were about 70 and below when I was on before, so I'm still finding out how well it is.
Anyone else have it?
9 or 10 full-time staff.
Okay.
It's up pretty fast.
Yeah. Anyone else have a thought on that? Are the chances of getting derailed a little bit easier when there's a larger school, or not necessarily? Our school, we're around 50 students at Bourbon Christian School this year, so I consider that somewhat of a smaller school. Well, let's look a little bit then about, I think there's still some common threads, though, that run with the treasurer's responsibilities across all of our schools. I do have a handout here. It's mostly just for you to kind of fill in some things as we go through here. So what would you say, and that's what the first question is on here, a treasurer is primarily responsible for managing. Now, this is fairly elementary. What does a treasurer do? Primarily responsible for what?
Finances.
The finances, for the financial affairs of the school. And as you think about that, what would be some things that you feel like would be the treasurer? What are some things that fall under that title that he would do? Now, if you look down my list, you'll see some of these bulleted items. These are some of the things that I want to go over. But what does a treasurer do? What are some things that fall under that portion of the finances? Anyone?
Payroll,
okay. We'll be talking about that a little bit. What else?
Keeping records.
Okay, that's also on the list here.
Invoicing.
Pardon me?
I guess invoicing.
Sure. Invoicing, possibly, yep.
Reporting.
Okay, reporting, yep.
Yeah, I was thinking something similar, like contacts.
Budgeting, yes, very much.
Paying bills,
okay. All right, I think that gives us a good start. Let's look at budgeting here a little bit. On your handout here, I have down that budgeting, a school operating without an annual budget is like trying to operate a new piece of equipment without a, and I'm thinking owner's manual. What if you bought a new piece of equipment and you didn't know how to operate it, and you just kind of blindly started using that equipment and found out the hard way, maybe even broke a few things? If you have an owner's manual, and my wife always kind of chuckles at me, we get something new, even if it's a vacuum sweeper. I just like to spend time and go through the manual. I know many of you aren't that way. You'd rather just figure it out on your own and last resort, look at the owner's manual. But it can save so much headache and so much problem if we look at the owner's manual. If there's anything that I feel like we should hammer on today, it may be one of the most important things, and that's this thing about having a budget, having an annual budget to work from. Does your school do that? Are you honest enough to raise your hand? Does your school? Okay, good. I'm just so delighted to hear that. If you want to, look a little bit at the second page of your handout. This is, we'll be touching on this two different times. I want to look at a little bit from the budget aspect, and then when we come back, when we talk about reporting, I want to look at this too. Now, I have across the top ABC School Financial Report. So this isn't Bourbon Christian School Report, and yet it kind of is. What I have here is some income categories, and then some disbursement categories. What I want you to really notice, though, I don't know if you're doing this or not, but at the beginning of the year, once our annual budget has been set, and then we create this spreadsheet, and the middle section there is the budget that we have come up with and that's been approved is what we plug in here. And then we put in, and then on the left-hand side is this month's income or disbursements. And then we also have a year-to-date column. And then the percentage column shows us what percentage of our budget has been spent already. So this is the report that I take to school board meeting each month that we go over. Now, what I did here was, like I say, I put in the income categories, and then I put in just the first two of disbursement categories. And these aren't totally all of our categories. From there on down, I'm just listing the main categories that we have, and then there's subcategories underneath each one of these. So I just wanted to kind of point out that we like seeing not only where we're at for the month, we like seeing at where we're at for year to date. We also know what the budget is, and we know where we're at as far as the percentages that have been spent of that budget at this time. I'd like to come back and look a little bit at that, at more of this when we get down into giving a report. So I wanted to just point that out to you. Your financial report doesn't need to look like this, but it has to be some kind of a way that you can show people what your budget is and how well that you're tracking with that. Any comments or questions on that? Now, our school fiscal year runs from July to the end of June, July 1st to June 30th. So usually in June, our board gets together at our board meeting, and we work off of, this is typically a two-page report that we look at each month, but we have a five-page report that includes these items, but it also has continued sheets as we plug in what our various expenses are going to be, and it plugs in how many students we're going to have that year. It plugs in what income possibly might be coming in from other resources other than tuition or like church offerings. And then the last sheet of that tells us what our per student cost is going to be, and it dictates how much our Bourbon Christian School is operated a little bit different. The school is owned and operated by just one church, but we probably have about as many outside students that come to our school as what we do students that come from our own church. So we kind of have to factor in, well, how much are we going to need? How much is our church going to need to contribute each month to be able to pay our obligations? And that five-page worksheet spells out to us then what it's going to take to make that happen. And then we take that to our church in July at our annual business meeting, and we ask them for their approval. That then sets our budget for the coming year. I'm guessing you do something similar to. Somehow you need to have approval. You know, you can put any budget together, but is it approved? Who's going to approve it? The people that approve it are going to have to be the ones that buy into it, correct? And help make that happen. Okay, let's look a little bit at the next item here on the hand sheet, on the handout that I have. I have down here overseeing expenditures. Everything should be driven by the budget. I just would like to just emphasize again, everything should be driven by the budget. And I have down here, should staff be permitted to make purchases? And that's kind of for you to answer. Our The last couple of years, our budget has been running a little tight. The economy here in northern Indiana isn't quite what it was at one time, but seems like we've been running a little bit tight on our finances, and so we always kind of like to let, I'm not sure how much of an emphasis we made on letting our staff or our teachers know what our budget is. It's available for them to look at. We haven't really made a big deal out of sharing what our expectations are for budget. But this past year, I had a teacher contact me, and she was like, one thing that I want to do this coming year is just try to save money where I can in expenses for my classroom and things. So first I'm thinking, well, hey, that's the kind of teacher I like to see at school here. But the more I got to thinking about that, there's something that bothered me about that. What do you think that is?
She didn't feel responsible for that.
Okay, she didn't feel responsible for that, okay? What else? I agree with that, Mark, thank you. The other thing I was kind of thinking too, it kind of put her in a little bit of a box. So now she's kind of thinking, well, where could I save some money? Where can I cut back? You know, we as a board, and then we as a congregation, had decided that the need, in whatever category it is, that this is the amount of money that it's going to take to meet the need of her classroom, or of the elementary classrooms. And so we plugged into that what we felt like the expenditures should be for that year. And the more I thought about it, we really want her to spend the amount that was allocated that's available for her to spend. There's something freeing about that when they can work within those boundaries. If they know that this is the money that's allocated for my classroom and for what I'm doing here at school, and that the board wants me to use that because they feel like that's what should be spent. We've actually gone so far as the last couple of years now, we got company credit cards for all of our, and not all of our full-time staff, but all of our homeroom teachers have a company credit card. And they can purchase from Amazon or purchase things that they need. And I don't really, at the end of the month, then they give me a report on what, you know, I get the statement from the credit card company, and then the staff, the teachers tell me it's listed by each credit card, and it tells me who that teacher was. And then they tell me what categories get plugged into the budget with the expenses that were on that credit card. I'm going to tell you this, we've been very happy with it. I was a little concerned, maybe to start with, about giving all teachers a credit card, but they're responsible people. They wouldn't be teaching in our school if they weren't responsible people. And there's something freeing about that as they know they have need of supplies, they have need of things for their classroom, they just purchase it themselves with that credit card. And then let us know how that got spent. That's worked well. How is it? Dave Ramsey, in his budgeting thing, he talks about it's not every dollar spent. What does he call it? I forget. He has a name for it. In other words, every dollar that is budgeted has an allocation.
Every dollar needs a home.
Every dollar needs a home, something like that.
Or every
okay.
dollar has a job.
Yeah, every
like
dollar has a job, maybe. That's kind of what we feel like. This budget, every dollar has a job. Make it do its job. Use it for what it was intended for. And if we work within the constraints of what that budget is for the year, it's going to work out well. Any thoughts on that?
Steve, do you put names on those, or do you just have them designated by room?
It's dedicated. No, the name must be on it, because when I get the financial statement each month, it's listed by their name.
And then when you have new teachers, then you have to get a new card.
Yeah. Before that, we had several debit cards. Well, two debit cards that they would just trade around. For some reason, our bank wasn't very happy with that at all. They wanted us to go this route, go with credit cards, and have each one have their own credit card instead of trading cards back and forth. Someone else started to say something.
Are all your teachers familiar with the budget, like exactly how much they have allocated to spend? Or is
not as much as we should have. As I was preparing for this, I realized we need to do a better job of that. I want to try and do that. They have, it's available for them to look at, but we probably haven't done the best job of sitting down with them and going over what those allocations are. There's also a credit limit. Our school administrator, his credit card, I can set the limits on those credit cards of what they can spend per month. And so school administrator has a higher limit that he can spend on his than what the homeroom teachers do.
We've looked into getting a credit card or anything like that. I think you still want to do it sometime, but the banks wanted so much information, got kind of discouraged about actually doing it.
Okay.
We do have a debit card linked to the checking account.
Yeah. You know, I don't know. It seemed like our school, they purchased so much items anymore from Amazon. It makes it quite a bit easier for them to use a credit card. We do have some vendors that we use that wouldn't be through Amazon, but they do some of it through Amazon.
Okay, with that, I guess we've got large. It's a 55 students, so it's a smaller school, but we've got the secretary does a lot of the purchasing. We've got logins that are tied to like sales tax exemption.
Sure.
Amazon, Menards, et cetera. So that works well to keep it centralized, and it saves.
Sure.
Obviously saves the sales tax.
And
so the right people have the logins, just don't essentially order online. It works so well.
Our school doesn't have a secretary at the present time. You're kind of catching on. Our schools all operate differently. I'm sure you're very much aware of that. So overseeing expenditures, when I bring back to this financial sheet, when I bring this report to the board each month, then we sit down and look at it. And one of the things that I wanted to point out here, and I've just put this here in this fictitious report that I have here, look down at category 205. By the way, we number all our categories. It's just easier for like when the staff puts down what their expenditures was, they just put down these numbers, the category numbers, and they don't have to write the whole thing out. But if you look down at category 205 under disbursements, I have down there high school electives. As soon as any category for the year goes above what the budget is, then it's flagged in red. You notice the $900 there, it's flagged in red. I'm just showing here that fictitiously we may have had only $750 allocated to that. As soon as it goes over that, it's flagged in red, and over on the percentage column, it's flagged in red. And then we look at that at our monthly meeting and say, okay, so what happened here? Why did this category go over expenditures? Well, it can be for various reasons. You hadn't allocated enough, didn't realize maybe what something was going to cost. In this instance, I have down that the staff came to us and said, you know, we hadn't planned on this when we first were talking about budget at the beginning of the year, but we've got a Spanish course. That's why I have it. We have a Spanish course that we just really feel like we'd like to add to this year. Is there any way that we can do that? So the board approved that. That purchase might have been $900, okay? And then I have a little column over here for notes where I put down that the board approved this Spanish course, and this is why the expenditure was over what it was. Now, what can typically happen is that we kind of then make sure we keep a track of where we're at with the total. Are there some other categories, subcategories under this curriculum category that maybe we could back off a little bit? So as long as the total column doesn't end up in the red, then we have some wiggle room to let the subcategories expand, be a little bit more or be less. But We always, so fortunately, early on in our board meetings, we go over the financial part of it, and I get to show them this report. I usually have my laptop along with QuickBooks open, and if they have any questions on any of these categories, I can tell them, well, this is what got spent this past month. This is where we're at. But I wanted to point that out to you about the subcategories that are flagged in red. While we're talking about that a little bit, the next item that I have down here is maintaining accounting records. I have that on your handout there. What do you like to use? Of course, I mentioned QuickBooks already. That's probably one of them. What are you using for your accounting software? I see a few heads nod. Some other QuickBooks users. Okay. Sure, there's some other good ones out there. What are some others? Besides a little desk calculator with green numbers. No others? What does that mean? Everybody using QuickBooks or your
previous treasurer was a farmer and we got a farming software, whatever, drafted in.
Okay, sure. Does it look like something that would work, though? I mean, he made it work, huh?
Yeah, I think it could make
it work. Some of you Pennsylvania people, I know there's some other, in Lancaster, there's some Mennonite people, things that have written some software, right, for accounting software and some different things. Well, let's just ask you, how many are using QuickBooks? Wow, really? What are you doing? Are you on the... On you on the, what do they call it now, online 365 or something, or kind of expensive, isn't it?
Isn't that a Microsoft? Oh, QBO, QuickBooks Online.
Yeah.
Yeah. We have an old desktop version, so still using that.
You what?
We have an older desktop version, so still using that.
Sure. I am too, yes.
QuickBooks Online, if you're a nonprofit, you can get a very discounted rate.
Okay. Okay.
Be a 501c3
yes.
To be now?
Yeah.
All right.
I've been using Wave for small business for a personal project, keeping records, and they have a paid version, but they also have a free version that doesn't stream your transactions in, but you can go on the bank and download them and then upload them to the software and then just categorize them. It takes a little longer, but for a free version, it's okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
What was that called?
Wave.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
So, not trying to derail your talk, but for those of you that have a budget, our school does not, what is some practical advice on how to get started on that, or to write a budget?
Okay, he's asking what are some practical advice. He said their school is not using a budget, and what's some practical ways to get started. What would you suggest?
Are you tracking like categories now?
Right. Yeah, we are.
So that's what I'm looking at the last couple of years historical. Our school just opened also, so we looked at some neighboring schools, whatever information we can get to kind of guess for the first year.
Yeah, I was going to say, too, if you have several years of history, the problem is it seemed like the last couple of years inflation has just been high enough that it's really been kind of difficult to keep ahead of that. You can look at the last several years and say, well, $1,000 should work in this category, and then it doesn't because of what's been happening. I don't know what's going to, with our government change anything, I don't know. I'm not sure how much that's all going to change, but for right now, we are dealing definitely with some inflationary numbers when we look at budgeting. Have you been talking about this, or is this just a whole new idea to try and come up with a...
It's come up, but it's not something we've dug into.
Mm-hmm. Am I off base to think, though, it's the Bible you should be going by when you're working with finances for your school? I feel pretty strongly about it. If I can encourage you to try and get that started. You're never going to hit it accurately, but you're going to, hopefully, year by year, you get a little better at it as you look at what transpired the last year and you start building some history. And there should also be a list. One of the things, and we even have some of our subcategories that we broke down a little more, not that because they couldn't be lumped together, but primarily because we've got a few things that only happen every other year or only happen every 3 years. We've got in our school kitchen, we've got a gas range that has a suppressant system over the top of it. And every 3 years, we have to have a company come in and completely go through that and certify it again and put a sticker on there. So for a while, we weren't always remembering that it was the third year. So now we have a little tickler file that kind of says, hey, every third year. So we put that in a category under subcategory to kind of help us capture that and know that next year is going to be the year that we need to factor that in.
The other thing I would say is there are some knowns. Like, yes, on some categories with the inflation, but there are some knowns. You have, once you know how many families or children are coming, you know what the tuition costs.
Yes.
So lock into those.
Yeah.
They're more known than others.
Yeah.
QuickBooks does have a budgeting tool. You can fill in all your numbers, and then that will factor into your reports as well. Okay. I've used that.
Okay, Aiden said QuickBooks does have a budgeting tool that you can plug into. When we first worked at doing this one with the budgets and their percentages, I just couldn't find anything on there that would do. This is just an Excel spreadsheet here, but possible now, maybe especially on the online version. I don't know if you'd be able to create a report like this that would give you those four pieces of information or not.
I don't use QuickBooks Online. I use an old desktop version. Somebody over there mentioned it. And they somehow I've gotten away with keeping the old version. And it has budgeting on it. But I think probably online, they have it more parceled out. You could add modules or services.
Okay.
I'm not sure just how that works.
I'm just old school enough that I haven't learned all those items yet.
One thing I started to do, and this might depend on the size of your school, but one thing I started to do is look back at previous years for your budget, but also involve your principal and just get their input every year. So they're the ones that know what they like to see, and I just found it very helpful to sit down with them and get their input on the budget as well.
I couldn't agree more. In fact, I didn't finish that. In June, when we as a board are putting together the proposed budget to propose to our church, we actually will set up a projector in our boardroom where we meet at school. We'll set up a projector and we'll put that five-page budget up on there. And the school administrator has already plugged in. He's kind of responsible for the curriculum side of it, to get that plugged in, even some of the supplies. He kind of knows what we should put in. And then I start putting in like maintenance things and utilities. I can plug that in. And we can sometimes have about two-thirds of that already built before we start that evening. But we'll just kind of go down through there and fill those in. And then we look at the total and try to figure out, are we going to be able to support that kind of a budget? So, yeah, very, you know, the nice thing is you are, as a treasurer, in my opinion, you are not in this by yourself. It's not that you're responsible for it. If you're part, that's why I guess I was asking you, is there any time where a school treasurer might not be part of a school board? And typically there wouldn't be. You're part of a school board and you're working together on this. They're part of your team. You don't need to go at this by yourself because they have a lot of input that they can bring into as you're putting this budget together and how expenses are going to be categorized for this coming year. Use that input. Allow them to speak into this too. So thanks for pointing that out. I have down here preparing financial reports. We talked about that. Who who should be getting regular financial reports to properly understand the financial health, Who, in your opinion, should? Who all then, you know, you can put this report all together, but unless the correct people see it and make use of it, it's not going to do a whole lot of good. In your opinion, who do you think should get those details? Do you just do it for your own understanding and for your own?
Board.
Josh?
Board, and we also open it up to the rest of the church families.
Okay.
School
okay.
families.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to say anybody who wants it.
Sure. Anybody who wants it. Shouldn't be anything we hide, right? So, Josh, like when? In an annual business meeting, or just what are you thinking?
Occasionally in brothers meetings, but also then in the PTA meetings when we have all the school mm-hmm. parents there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Go over with them and kind of explain what the expenditures were. Yeah.
We email a finance report every month to every patron.
To every patron?
Monthly.
Okay.
Monthly finance report.
Okay. Have they ever commented back to you? Is that something they appreciate getting? Or?
Appreciate thanks for they never ever commented on what they yeah. were or what went for.
But neither.
Appreciated getting it.
Neither have they breathed down your neck and said, hey, I've never found out anything. Okay.
We've been doing it now for 3 years. So.
Okay. Interesting.
Is that something new you started doing?
The previous treasurer started it.
Okay. Is it just for the past month, or is it for also year to date?
It's for the last month.
For the last month.
Yeah, and then at the end of the year, fiscal year, they get a whole year report.
Okay. Anyone else that should get the report, in your opinion? My school board chairman takes a very active interest in what the financial report is. I appreciate that. It just tells me that they're interested in making sure that things are working the way they should be. And he sometimes has some questions. Well, what's this, or why is that? Okay, the next one then is assist in setting staff wages. I have down here, my school has an excellent method of determining staff wages, yes or no. What did you check? How involved are you in that? Is that part of your responsibility as treasurer to help us set the wages? How does it happen? What do you do? Throw a dime quarter in the air, and the way it lands, that's
part of what I said earlier about context. Like, that's what I think the board looks to me for some is that context. So we just had this conversation a month or so back about the upcoming year, looking at what families will be there, what our tuition should be, and making sure it can support the wages. I see my job as trying to translate that into
yeah.
useful, not dictating it by any stretch. But
mm-hmm.
we were somewhat hit and miss, and we set a template that starts with the minimum wage and number of hours, which is not accurate for a teacher, but as a base. And then we add on so much for every year of service, so much for Faith Builder, TAP program, VS.
Some of our teachers will have masters or some
okay. Okay, sure.
Value on that.
Take that into consideration. Okay. You were going to add something here.
Oh, I just thought that there would be a way to go at this backwards. Like, don't you almost have to, it's a job that's got to be done, but we're not going to leave it undone. We have to pay a fair wage.
Yeah.
And we have to somehow get the money.
Yeah, true. Here's what I'm afraid of happens sometimes, is that we get a budget that we think we can handle, but there's not enough room in there for the kind of wages that we should be paying our teachers. And so we think, well, she's taught 2 or 3 years now, and evidently she's made it work somehow. We just continue with that. I just feel like it is so important. You know, how are we going to get, and you all know this, but how are we going to get any kind of long-term staff unless we don't at least attempt to pay them what they should be paid? We, several years ago at our church, just had people anonymously fill out a little paper about what they think, our parents and others as well, but what they think would be a fair wage in our community for a school teacher. I forget if it was by the month or whatever. And it was interesting enough when we got those back, it was, as we felt too, it was, our teachers weren't being paid enough. So we started to look in that, okay, so how can we, if this is where we are now, and this is where we would, this is where our patrons are telling us that they feel like our teachers should be at, we're not going to be able to make that jump in 1 year. It's too large of a jump. But as we start working towards that, how can we bring that step by step up to a wage that is acceptable for the task that they're doing? You know, we talked about inflation a little bit ago. When inflation has been running 3 to 3.5% the last number of years, if we're adding to their wage for the coming year 3, 3.5%. They're not gaining a thing, right? We're only just keeping up with cost of living. So it's going to take more than that to bring them up. And you've probably found this too, that it's interesting enough that once a teacher has said, I just can't do this VS anymore, I need to go get a job, get a real job and get some money, what we'll pay to get a replacement to come in and take her place. Because we got to have a teacher. And others say, well, I can't work for that amount. Yet we've kind of asked this teacher before to work at probably a wage that many of us would probably not be willing to do that. I just hats off, and I'm sure you say the same thing, but it's just hats off to our staff, our teachers, that have taught for a number of years and probably have not been getting the kind of wage that they should have been doing. We want a quality job done. We want them to teach our students well, and you know all that. Any other thoughts on staff wages? It should be, wages should be the number one, the highest item on your budget, right? Would anybody dare to say what percentage of your budget you think should be wages? Have you ever looked at yours? Have you ever, at the end of the year, looked at what your total expenditures were for the past year and what percentage of that was for wages? Anybody ever done that? Okay. Was it shocking, or did you feel pretty good about it, or?
Some years ago, I made an Excel spreadsheet that has, we have a base wage, and we reset that every 2 or 3 years. And then we have the bonuses, somebody back here was mentioning, or additions.
Yeah.
We add on based on years of experience or experience in our school, so they're going to raise every year for sure. And that makes my job easier for setting the wages, that we have an agreed upon system.
Yeah.
And I think it's about 80% of our expenses.
80%? Yeah. Okay. Yes.
I was working on figuring this out for next year, and I just had an idea. I didn't get around to doing it yet, but I was wondering if I could survey all the business owners that's in our congregations and have them anonymously put the salary that they're paying for like a 4 or 5 year term employee and then a manager. How much are they paying? And then base our payment based on that. Salary. Now, school teachers are only working about 9 months, so they have about a 2 month gap there. Now, some of them are full time. We have Lifford Forest is a full time all year employee, but it's just a shame if we lose dedicated, career minded teachers because they can't afford it.
Yeah. Very true. And our school board chairman has been very much hammering. I don't know. Somehow historically, we've kind of felt like, well, single sisters, you know, they can probably teach for a little less than a married man that has a family. And our chairman has just really been hammering. Well, first of all, that is definitely a form of discrimination. But what is the job? What's the task that they're required to do and asked to do? And are they meeting that, and are we compensating them for that, no matter what, who they are or where they fit in on the marital status? Do we take that into consideration? Well, I'm glad to hear you say that, Aiden. I would like to suggest that you should be somewhere between 70% and 80% of your budget, I feel like, should be wages. So check it out sometime. Look once at what your annual budget is. Now, if you cut corners in a lot of other areas, maybe that still doesn't give you a lot of wiggle room for your teacher's wages, but it should definitely be your number one expense. One thing that we started doing several years ago is we kind of started a retirement savings plan for our staff. It's not a complicated one. We had an accountant just set up a simple IRA account for our staff, and we as a school, if they contribute from their wages into their IRA account, we will match up to the first 3%. The first 3% that they put in, we will match that. So that wasn't really part of what I wanted to get into on this subject here today, but we do need to be looking at ways, I think, to build more long-term staff, people that are willing to stay with us, people that are willing to teach and not just say, well, I'm going to do 2 or 3 years of VS and then move on. That's not going to give us the kind of staff that we're looking for. So, all right, the next one down is assisting setting staff wages. Assuring compliance with financial regulations. I don't have a whole lot to say on that. I think it is also as treasurer, it's kind of your responsibility to just to kind of make sure about things out there that are changed. We could say here, I need to check with my accounting firm for any updates. It's kind of important, I think, to stay on top of that. And I don't know how, without having someone else advise you on how to recognize what some of those changes are. We here a couple years ago, all of a sudden we discovered in Indiana that the not-for-profit sales tax exemption form that we were using, all of a sudden it had been replaced by a new form and none of us even knew about it. So after working with the Indiana Department of Revenue, we kind of found out, oh no, we need to be using this NP-1 form. And it can no longer just be one blanket form that we could just hand out to any vendor. We have to go online and fill out that form for every vendor that we're applying for sales tax exemption. So it's also probably a part of the job description for the treasurer is to keep up with compliance with financial regulations. Okay, we're rapidly running out of time here. Just the next item down is willingness and expertise. Now, I'm branching off a little bit differently here than what we've been talking about, what responsibilities are for a board. But I have down here, I've been called to a noble task, and I want to seek education and training in whatever area that I'm lacking in. I thought Jonathan Hostetler so ably touched on that this morning. And he was just saying that, you know, and I think I was in the session that was in here this morning with Rod Horst too, and he was just talking about as you get responsibilities such as being a board treasurer, you need to look at them seriously. And am I willing to take what it needs to get education or to get training or to learn how to do it. Now, I've always enjoyed numbers, and so when I first got asked, I felt like I was willing, I just didn't know how. I'm like, well, where am I gonna start? There was people that I went to, in fact, the school administrator right here at this school at that time, he ended up being here 11 or 12 years, And I spent several evenings with him, because evidently he must have been quite a bit involved in the finances for the school. And he's like, well, what if we'd set up some categories? And what if we do this? And what if we, this is something that I've always kind of wished that we could track in our expenses. And he helped me so much to kind of get started, get set up. But, you know, we could just wring our hands and say, well, I don't know what I'm going to do. I hopefully somebody steps up to the plate and takes care of this. Or we can say, well, I need to find out what it's going to take to do it. I need to get the education. I need to get the training. I need to find out how we're going to handle this and get into it. Decide that this is important enough that you want to do a good job. In my time, I've seen some bad experiences of men that just had no interest at all in accounting practices and just no interest in finances. Probably there, I was going to ask if there was any women here this afternoon, I was going to ask, so how many of you take care of finances at home or take care of the, my wife's here? And I was going to tell them, well, you don't know me, so you don't know from which side of the fence I'm coming on. I really don't have a problem with, and I'm sorry, ma'am, I missed you sitting back there too. I don't have a problem with a wife doing, you know, sometimes the wife is just much more capable of taking care of the checkbook maybe than what the man is. But I think women who just take that over, I think here's where they're at fault, is if they don't make their husband also be involved in the whole situation. In other words, maybe she should come up with a little financial report that she gives him every month and ask for his input. Us as men, it's kind of easy to just let somebody else take things and run with it, when it's really, it's our responsibility as men, whether it's in the home or whether it's at school, step up to the plate, be willing to be responsible. Maybe numbers and math isn't your forte and not something you necessarily enjoy, but you still need to be able to the one who is going to lead out on that. Willingness and expertise. So ideally, you were elected or asked to serve, and it's just important that you're willing to do that. Someone has said, what makes a good treasurer? One who demonstrates integrity, and this is not on your handout, one who demonstrates integrity and attention to detail and financial acumen to effectively manage the school's financial responsibilities. I'd never heard of this word, acumen. Wasn't even sure I was pronouncing it right, but I looked it up. But the word acumen means the ability to make good judgments, typically in a particular domain. You are in a particular domain. You are in a domain of your school and its operation. And so when you are put into a position as being a treasurer, while your patrons or your church or whoever was involved in putting you in that position may not have thought through all that, but really what they were looking for is someone who demonstrates integrity, someone who demonstrates attention to detail, and someone with financial acumen, the ability to make good judgments in a particular domain. And that's why they put you in for that. In addition to being, we could say, a money tracker, keeping track of the finances, the treasurer's task could also, we could say, include these three things: mentoring, planning, and forecasting. You're mentoring others in taking care of the finances, your staff, those that need to work under that budget, and your planning and your forecasting. I think that's all I have. I want to talk just a little bit about auditing. We're out of time here, but do you do financial audits? What do you do for auditing at all at your schools? Anyone doing that at all?
We have somebody, as part of our business meeting, we elect somebody to audit the church books and the school books.
Okay. Now, is that a full-blown audit where they go through all your invoices and all your
no.
purchase orders? Okay. No. Yeah. Well, I would say at a bare minimum you should do this if you're not now. Our accountant told us, look, he says, A full-blown audit is very detailed. It's going to take a lot of time, and it could be fairly expensive. So they suggest that if the parent organization of the school, whoever that is, if they approve this, that we at least do this much. This, they call it an annual bank reconciliation and a financial verification report. So we take them, all our bank statements from the previous year, any of the credit card statements, and we take them a copy of QuickBooks. And they then go through it and just compare that everything that we say happened actually showed up going through the bank, what the bank showed. And then they write us a letter saying that we have examined the books and we did a bank reconciliation and we did a verification and we feel like everything is in order here. I forget what it all says. And then they sign that and then we pass that out to at our annual business meeting to everybody that's there. There's just a good feeling for me as a treasurer when I know that someone else has also looked at that and they say this is all up. Either that or they have to make some corrections sometimes. If you don't have, this doesn't look quite right and matches, so we get those corrections made and we buy off on that. But I would suggest that it's to your advantage that that happens. It's just good accounting practices. Thanks so much for coming this afternoon. Don't know if you learned. I really kind of hope you were bored stiff. Say, I'm doing all that and beyond. You mean he's so old-fashioned, he's still doing it that way. That's kind of what I hope you were thinking. But if not, hopefully you picked up one of a few things. Thank you. You can be dismissed.